With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Get up, get busy, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And he's a dangerous man with some money in his pocket. It's Pete Donaldson.
Hello, everyone.
Everybody, three's company, but four's a ramble. You all know this. But before we start the show, I'm bloody delighted to announce that our latest monthly special is out now for Acast Plus subscribers. Our very own Luke Moore chatted to none other than Jamie Carragher about his England and Liverpool career, of course, as well as his move into the media and that famous night in Istanbul. I've heard it. It's genuinely fascinating and well worth a listen. So subscribe to Acast Plus, receive all our monthly specials as well as ad-free Ramble episodes. Download the Acast app. Right, gentlemen.
I was only away for a week.
Yeah.
And we're interviewing Jamie Carragher. Ranieri's gone.
Can I just say, in that intro you did when the music was playing,
yes.
I don't know if Jim feels the same, I've never felt more dismissed than you just want to get to the fact that Pete's back. Which is perfectly understandable, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone's waiting for dessert.
Jim's here. All right. Luke's here. And Pete Donaldson's here.
Yeah. Most importantly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I felt like an undercard.
You've been to the live show, Luke.
It's true.
You hear the screaming.
I have.
Yeah. She's been to the live show. Luke's not our warm-up act.
Yeah.
They were audible boos.
Only in the show that was near Southampton. But we'll get to Southampton in a short while. Now, we just witnessed the 89th Academy Awards.
That went well.
The Oscars, I believe they call it. Yeah,
the ramble of the film awards. The way it was dispensed. It's like a Dean Windass Hall of Fame all over again, isn't it?
Oh, dear. So then, gentlemen, if you could present an award to anybody from the world of football, what would it be for and who would it be to, Jim?
I would like to see, once and for all, the most terrifying club mascot recognised. Because there are so many, like, horrific felt nightmares out there.
The Partick one.
The Partick Thistle one.
That's
it was obviously
one.
A strong contender, yeah. the David Shrigley one. But there are a lot more out there.
Which is the Partick Thistle one?
It looks like a little weird, angry Starman designed by a notable UK artist, David Shrigley.
Right. It's a Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying.
It's enjoyable.
Quite deliberately
it's almost as terrifying as Mark McGee. but not quite. More on him later, by the way.
I was about to say, Mark McGee fans, keep still.
Both of you, keep your attention.
So, Scunthorpe have got one called the Scunny Bunny, which is this sort of terrifying Donnie Darko-style rabbit.
Vibrator.
I don't want to hear more about that.
Oh, Pete's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Like someone on the market. I got you, Scunny Bunnies.
Two for a tenner.
Yeah, well, club
three
merchandise.
Three handkerchiefs, 50 pence.
Club merchandise is getting stranger all the time, so maybe there's a gap in the market there.
Don't call them that, mate. It's part of a lady.
Oh, Peter. Peter Donaldson.
Minutes. It's taken minutes.
You're not on your sex holiday now.
To Beijing.
Although, judging by
my ass, man, you couldn't get up to anything.
You can be weird anywhere, Pete. It doesn't matter where you are. As long as you're out of our sight, it's
always
dubious.
That's what I said on the visa.
Jim, with his asthma, he couldn't get up to anything.
Yeah, I heard it and I chose to ignore it.
The biggest
we know it's not true.
The air quality's terrible there.
The biggest contraceptive Pete's got is that shirt.
let's not bring the shirt to this.
About his shirt.
Good God.
It's not an audio feature, for one thing. So,
it's not a visual feature.
No.
It's a visual assault.
God, you're impressive.
Yeah, I'm really trying, mate. Peter, you'll be aware of the Newcastle mascots. They're Maggie and Monty Magpie, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're husband and wife, right? And obviously the top of them is a horrible felt mascot nightmare, but otherwise they just wear jeans. I love that.
Jordy jeans.
So much about the fine city, doesn't it?
Like, oh, goodness me.
I mean, they're maybe not terrifying, but I felt they were worthy of a mention. There's,
if you mention the city gent again on this podcast...
I'm not, but right? I need to now.
Because I know...
It's not
a terrifying one. He's a gent.
Wait a minute, Jim, if you don't mind me saying, you've just described two massive human-sized magpies wearing jeans and said, they're not that terrifying. They sound bloody terrifying to me.
And don't forget that they're married.
Good. That's a good thing.
I know it's good. It's just odd. Seems odd, though, doesn't it?
It's
strange thing for the backstory.
It's ironic, given your situation, you're a fan of a stable family unit.
Yeah.
Oi, come on.
Come on.
Why is Luke having a... what's he been doing since I've been away?
Oh, just, yeah,
hang
on.
He's not had this. He's not had the punching bag.
No sidekick.
The floral punching bag.
What's your answer?
So, I'm trying to show my work in. I really am. So, the Perth Glory have got one called George the Glory Gorilla, who's got an orange face and terrifying purple hair.
Why has he got an orange face?
I don't know, mate. I don't know.
Because he's terrifying.
You have to look at it.
Donald Trump.
That's not
Donald
a gorilla.
Yeah, very much so. FC Tokyo, you might be aware of this, Pete, because you're basically Japanese now. They've got one called Tokyo Doromba. Don't know what that means. He's some sort of like futuristic mammal who wears a massive bow tie and he smashes like slate tiles with his hand before games.
Wow.
Which is like actual violence. So
Westful.
That's fairly terrifying. But for me, the winner has to be Germany's Holstein Kiel. They have a terrible, terrifying mascot. It's a giant stork with a huge head and really evil-looking eyes. But the head of the man in the suit You know, the stork's neck comes off the top of that, so it's absolutely massive. It's like a sort of, it's like a mugwump from from William Burroughs' work.
So hang on, so the head is in the neck, like it's swallowing something.
Well, no, well,
it's swallowing a man's head,
and it wears a baseball cap that's like a football as well. But honestly, the thing is nightmarish. Right. They're called Holstein Kiel. Look it up. Just
Holstein Kiel sounds like an absolute, like an actual man's name, though. That's what makes it more horrible.
That's what it's called. I don't know. I don't know much about the club.
Mr. Kiel's on the phone.
Mm. He's come for your young.
Sorry, he won't fit in the door. Don't worry about it.
Luke.
Just give Jim the point.
I mean, I
was going to... Far be it for me to double down and rely on like an accepted ramble trope, but I'm not sure if any of you guys...
How many have we got left?
Well, not exactly, but I'm going to double down because it's really important that I address this. On Match of the Day 2, I think... Actually, no, it wasn't Match of the Day 2. It might have been Match of the Day Saturday night. There was an interview with Sean Dyche. And have you heard how bad his voice has got now?
It is getting worse. I thought it was worse.
Now, I took a liberty of recording it. I'm going to play it on here.
Is it Polyp City?
It's probably about... When you first brought it up, wherever it was, Jim, I think, it's probably, I'd say, 10 times worse now. So I want to give him an award for services to not coughing. Because I'm convinced all he needs to do is cough. Let me see if this works.
We had the golden chance of the game when Andre Gray goes through 1v1. First half, we had so many good opportunities, but we just failed with a final moment of quality.
It doesn't even sound like a human being. That's my main problem.
It sounds like two voices at the same time.
Yeah, it been put one of through one of those
Shiny two voice,
which
makes
them sound like aliens from another
planet. Like a broken Dalek.
Yeah.
No, like a bad guitar pedal.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like going for a guitar pedal.
I was thinking if you wanted to... No, I'm not going to say that, actually. Carry on.
Okay,
wow. Wow, good God. Did you hear what just went on?
Yeah. I know,
I am... Very unsettled by that.
Yeah.
And I have finished.
Shall I pop the mics down and you stick on something to tell us?
That was underwhelming.
A ransom voice.
Yeah, well, it's not very nice.
No, it's not. It's not. Fair enough, Marcus. Marcus is.
I was just thinking the Mel Gibson film, Ransom, you know.
To be honest, if someone's recently been kidnapped, they're probably not listening to the ramble.
No.
That's not the. Please,
unless they're being tortured.
Former torture, yeah. Stress position, ramble, full volume. To be honest, the stress position is fine, but I'm not listening to any more of this shit.
Put me back on the radio.
Yeah, oh, God. Get the waterboard out.
Freddie Dolson's back with a bang.
Sean Dyche.
Don't blame me for this shit, Tim.
Go on, Sean Dyche. What about you? Beta, your answer, or dare I ask?
Do you remember what happens at this part of the show?
It's been a while. I recently watched a video of Vinnie Jones.
Which one?
Just a compilation of Vinnie Jones just hacking people down. And he scored a couple of screamers in his time. He was never a footballer, though, was he?
No.
I think that's harsh. At Leeds, he was all right.
He was a hatchet man at a time when hatchet men weren't even allowed. It was some of the stuff he used to do was incredible. So I just give him like an award for having a go. Yeah. for being a professional, for managing a professional contract when literally just attacking men.
Could I be the first to say people in glass houses?
Yeah.
There we are.
We're having a go here today. In quotes.
I thought you meant that might be a new award at the radio awards or whatever it would be.
The Sonys, I don't think we're troubling them.
No,
don't worry about that.
They don't exist anymore.
There you go. No. That's how out of touch we are with that.
Deary me, I would present the most lovely player of the last 30 years award to Demetrio Albertini.
Oh, okay. Handsome wise or?
All of it. Lovely. Yeah. Playing style, attitude, looks, hair, the lot.
It's reminded me, when you mentioned at the top of the show, when I talked to Jamie Carragher, he's obsessed with the classic Milan team in the 90s.
He should be.
He wouldn't stop talking about him.
Yeah,
he said the reason he came out of retirement, I won't give all the secrets away because you have to listen to it, but the reason he came out of retirement was for England is purely because 100% he wanted to play for Fabio Capello.
It's
fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but
some managers are like that, though. They do kind of. I hate to bring up Newcastle really early, but like they said that a lot of people would sign for Kevin Keegan because he was Kevin Keegan because of that generation.
The first 10 minutes of this show has gone that way, and you want to bring up Kevin Keegan now. Expect people to not laugh about it. It's got to bring a new truck. You've only got to say the name Kevin Keegan. Yeah.
Marcus is done for a good 10 minutes.
Can we make a mega trope where we just call him Sven Keegan?
I am like Pavlov's dog.
He is.
I'm just saying, not all the signings worked out, did they?
No.
Is there a war system?
No, they didn't. I think we could all agree on
Move
that.
Move on.
No, Albertini, I just wanted to say,
come off it, ref, I've done nothing, I've been punched twice. That's his favourite.
Yeah. I've got to say this about Albertini. This is why, lovely player. Part of the great Milan sides, of course, in the 90s and beyond, and the Italian teams as well, two finals in major tournaments. Ancelotti's successor, Pirlo's predecessor.
Nice, nice little slot in there.
And also, when one has a swan song in one's career, when footballers do, it's often at maybe a slightly lower league side or a team that's at best it's a sideways step, but often a step down. Albertini, he'd gone from Milan around a few other clubs. I think I forget which Italian club it was. Atalanta, maybe.
Where's he gone for his final season?
Barcelona.
Oh, lovely one.
Albertini, right. In his swan song.
You on the phone. I'll help you out. I'll pop over. I'll help you out.
The Roy Cup.
Probably played every minute.
Yeah. Albertini at Barcelona for his swan song under Rijkaard. Winning La Liga. I mean, can you think of anything more marvellous than that? Delightful, and it's got me the point.
Yeah, I thought it might have done. Yeah,
okay. Dimitri Albertini's the trump card here.
As soon as you put the smile on your face and said Dimitri Albertini, instantly I thought that's got him the point.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. Jim's all Jim's work, as per.
Yeah, as per Jim. Right, let's finally move on to the League Cup final. They won it, Manchester United. They won 3-2, Luke Moore. It wasn't in penalty shootout fashion that you wanted.
Football was the winner. I think we came.
Do you know what? It was a great game.
It was a fantastic
final. It really
was.
And the fact that both teams were absolutely on their feet at the end of the game. They were just so knackered, weren't they? It showed what a slugfest it was in some senses. Not a slugfest as in that takes away from some of the nice football play, but they were both absolutely shot to bits, weren't they? Both sides.
I heard a few people saying, oh, you know, Wembley, the big pitch and all that stuff. I want to put that to bed now.
Yes.
I want to put that to bed now.
Yeah.
Every single pitch now, under a FIFA directive of a while ago, is at the top level is the same size.
Is that right?
Has to be the same size.
Used to be.
It never used to be, but it has been for some time now. 105 by 68, every pitch at the top level.
Mm, right, that's interesting.
So when I had a chat with the head groundsman at Arsenal the other day, and he told me the Wembley pitch...
To get out. You
got the point. Yeah.
If you're going to pitch invade, do it one on match day.
I'm going to say a pass, please.
Yeah. And he told me, so always, he always a little chuckle to himself when people say, oh, this pitch is bigger and that pitch isn't, because they're all exactly the same size now and they have been for some time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I agree, they did look tired at the end, but that's because it was a great final. Mm. And Southampton were, you know, ha-ha-ha, as much as it pains me to say, or whatever, they were the best team, they were the better team.
They'll be gutted, because what an opportunity. I mean, the Southampton fans won't want me to say this, but, you know, the last time they won a major trophy were in the 70s. Mm. And then getting back to 2-2, and obviously they hit the post, it wasn't a howler, you know, it was unlucky. It just, as a Southampton fan, you will think to yourself, oh, what an opportunity.
Yeah, also, with the disallowed goal, which absolutely should have stood.
Yeah.
That was old school offsidery. That was
it was
proper old school linesmanry.
We're talking about old regulations. I don't know, back in the day, that would have been offside anyway. So what are you worried about?
Matt Letizia said the decision was disgusting.
Oh, he was absolutely. The only word I can use to describe him at half time was brewing.
Yeah,
he was brewing. Uh-huh. He was everything in his power to keep it together.
Yeah.
Inverse Luke Moore fest at the time.
It was compelling television.
You've never seen him move emotionally or physically so much.
He was absolutely. I mean, I thought it was a great game. I do think Southampton were the better team. They were crisper in the past. They seemed to be pretty sharp on the 50-50s and all that type of stuff. They really looked up for it. I would say though that disallowed goal was very early on. It was unfortunate and it was the incorrect decision. But I think it's a little bit disingenuous to suggest that would have had a huge effect on the game, because we just don't know what would have happened.
Yeah. But it's still, you know, you'd rather have a goal than not.
But Jim, of course you would, but you don't know how much it's going to... A team of the quality of Man United, who I think have only lost one game since about 4 months, that would have probably spewed them into action anyway.
It was a tale of two keepers. I think Fosu could have possibly saved Ibra's goal.
Oh, come on.
It was very close his hand, and I think he was a bit slow his hands.
It was very close to him. I mean, if Ibrahimovic was about 5 yards further back, I would have agreed. But
it can still be a great free kick and slightly sloppy goalkeeper.
I mean the header. The winning header.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. Oh, okay.
The header was... I actually think Pete's got a point, but Marcus has also got a point because it was very close in.
Right.
You could argue there, though, that Foster should have dominated that six-yard box a bit more effectively and cut it out, maybe.
Yeah. But you don't want to make those mistakes when it's that
game. If he makes that decision and it's a howler, that's all everyone's going to be talking about. Yeah.
Or you can say you've punched a very good footballer in the face by accident.
Yeah.
He could definitely beat you up.
Yeah. Foster's a big unit, mate.
True. But Ibrahimovic has got the skills.
Honorary skills.
It was a great bit of insight, whoever it was that pointed out that this is Zlatan's free kick. He picked out Stephen Davis, who was the shortest, and bent it over him.
Yeah.
Made it a lot easier for him to get it up and down.
But it came into the goal very low, which is quite exciting.
Yeah.
decent.
No, I totally agree.
But I rate him.
But Jim,
I think he's got a great future in the game.
A bit of a player.
Well, apparently he has got a great future in the game. That's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah.
When is it going to slow down?
For Southampton to come back to 2-2, yeah, it's just gutting. And one thing I thought that actually Southampton, when they came forward in the latter stage of the game at 2-2, and they seemed to have the wind up their sails, if you like, there was a few moments, I forget who it was, maybe Redmond was one and one or two
I
others.
Thought he played well, Redmond.
He did play well, but in this sort of final stage, and again, this shows the tiredness of the players, they came forward and they had a kind of, sometimes it was like a 3-on-3 situation or you know, a promising situation developing, and just an extra touch too much or a bad pass or didn't make the pass. There was a few poor decisions in that final third as the game went on, and I just remember thinking, you don't want to ruin them. I know they're not howlers. They're not chances missed. I'm not saying idiots should have won the game, but do you know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. Stuff. There was a point just after they equalised where their tails were up and they had a couple of chances that didn't quite go in, and it really felt like they had to get something then, while the tide had turned in their favour. Because as soon as Man United sort of got control back of the game a little bit, and you know, they sort of started to kind of dominate a bit more, you just felt like, that window might have gone now. That's what it proved to be.
That's what,
And especially when Gabardini's finish was so instinctual for that turn.
That second goal for me, that reminded me of Luis Suarez. That goal, really, almost like everything happens in one movement before anyone. Yeah. Luis Suarez is brilliant at that. He'll execute a goal or any sort of move.
One motion before
anyone's even realised what's happening.
Yeah.
And before you know it, he's wheeled away and he's celebrating.
That's why I said that it wasn't the player Southampton needed a few weeks ago.
I said a while back that he doesn't get as many goals as he should. And that is the case until he's come here. Yeah. Remember Fernando Torres didn't really get a huge amount of goals until he came to Liverpool. Yeah. It looks to me, it's early to say, but it looks to me like the Premier League clearly suits Gabbiadini.
It could well be, yeah. He looked absolutely destroyed, didn't he? Like he'd been at the club for 10 years. I loved how clearly, you know, emotive.
Living in Southampton will do that to you.
Wasn't even me that said it.
I know.
I briefed him earlier.
Yeah. It's either Sunderland, now it's Southampton he's moved on to.
Yeah. All the S's.
All the S's. I'm going back to your point, Jim, about, you know, those kind of chances or efforts, if you like, that Southampton missed. That feeds into the point of just the quality shines through. When both teams are dead on their feet towards the end of the game, that moment of quality, which obviously
you need as a 35-year-old.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, Lingard missed a good chance, you know, and he took his goal lovely in the first half, but missed a chance. But when everyone's just getting knackered and it's relying on either a mistake or a great piece of skill, that tends to be
and I think that a lot of the headlines will all be about Ibra's, you know, being 35 years old and winning yet another bit of silverware. At the end of the day, it's romantic because it reminds me personally of like Henrik Larsson. He's one of my favourite footballers when he came back to when he went to Manchester United. That was one of those great stories.
Barcelona, really, when he won the Champions League.
But I think you look at how Ibra started that move and just casually trotted into space.
Yeah.
No kind of pace at all. Just went, I know exactly, you know, where this is going to end up, and he scores
a winner. I'll find a load of space, put it on my 6'5" head, and
I heard someone ring into a radio station saying, I wish we saw him 20 years ago. And they go, what, when he was 15? And the guy who just thought about it went, yeah.
He would have been well cheap.
Yeah. I'm not backing down on this point.
Yeah.
There was a stat you sent around on the WhatsApp group the other day, Luke. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, that he scored over 220 odd goals since he turned 30, Zlatan. Which is basically incredible. More than some striker score in their entire career. Most.
Is he younger than he's saying he is?
Well, no,
is he lying about his age in reverse?
There was a lot of talk when he was linked to United initially. A few sort of European football experts, to use that horrible phrase, did say he looks after himself so well that his age at this point is probably largely irrelevant, at least for the fact that he's going to sign a one-year deal, possibly with a one-year extension. 2 years, it's irrelevant. I mean, and then he needed the medical, and apparently he was breaking records all over the place with that. You look at how often he affects games late on, all throughout the season. Clearly the guy, I mean, and he plays almost every game. I think he does play every game.
That's right. And Jose wants him to have that next year's contract, and he basically told the Manchester United fans to go around Slan's house. If there's anything that's going to make me want to leave Manchester... there seems to be a riot outside my house.
Mourinho seemed like somewhat sort of under the weather. He looks quite sort of despondent.
Still irked about Ranieri, maybe.
There was a lovely clip from journalist Kristen Hennage who put on Twitter about, you know, Mourinho looked a little bit downbeat after the game. Let's have a look at one of Sir Alex Ferguson, or Alex Ferguson, he was at the time, after his after his cup win with Aberdeen in Scotland. Ferguson is on the pitch, the celebrations are happening behind him, and he's going, "It's an absolute disgrace, disgraceful performance." You know, I think he says, it's quite hard to understand because it's quite noisy. I think he says, "Alec McLeish played against like 11 men on his own there. If we play like that again, it's an absolute disgrace." They've just won the cup, and the celebrations are happening behind him.
That's fantastic. One of the most entertaining moments of that final for me was, I don't know if you guys saw this, but you know that the Southampton fans did that mobile phone thing for Marcus Lieber, who passed away at a certain minute, and they held their mobile phones and created like a wall of light sort of thing. Gary Neville said, obviously they didn't know what it was for. I mean, him and Martin Tyler obviously didn't know what it was for. And Gary Neville said, "Oh, it's like a Celine Dion concert down there." and then Martin Tyler went, "You'd know."
Wow. This happens, but if you don't know what it is, don't say anything.
I had to rewind it to check I definitely heard it. But it definitely happened.
Funny, strange, isn't it?
Very strange.
Can I mention what Ronald Koeman tweeted after the match?
Well, you're going to, aren't
yeah,
you?
Of course he is. Everyone listening is doing a sweepstake how many minutes it is till you mention them.
Right, he mentioned that Manchester United winning the Cup was the best result for Everton because obviously the European places get pushed down one.
Yeah, seventh now.
He's seventh, yeah. And then he just put, "Southampton can be proud."
Doesn't care.
So he's like, "Great result for Everton. That's brilliant. That's what we wanted. Cheers, but my former club, they can be proud of
that." I like it when you put the running order together and you go, "Right, that's done. Get that document there. Right, let's just see what Ronald thinks." Just drop him in. It's like seasoning, like little salt and pepper all over the running
order. I put that in the running order straight away and then build the whole thing around
it. Okay, right.
I wasn't going to mention the League Cup final. How about this, though? According to Spanish newspaper Sport, Jose Mourinho has been regularly calling
Neymar. What should we call our newspaper?
Well, what's it going to feature? Mostly sport.
he's been regularly calling Neymar to try and get him to sign for Manchester United this summer.
Not allowed, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that is allowed.
Well, according to Sport.
As Jim says, not allowed, isn't it? I couldn't agree more, Jim.
Published author, Jim.
Possibly wouldn't use that syntax, but I agree with the sentiment. Yeah, speaking of that, someone just reminded me. Someone told me, someone in the know, to use again a horrible phrase, that Paul Stretford hasn't actually been in China. It's all been
a smoke screen.
Yeah, it's all there. It's not true.
That's ruined by weekend. Just
I know.
Gone.
I know. So people who are hoping, if there are any people out there, presumably in China, that are hoping Wayne Rooney.
Did you see him in China?
Yeah, it was Peter Tong, actually. Yeah.
I saw two of him.
Little word to the wise boys. I didn't see him at all. Yeah. Were you in Shanghai as well? No.
But surely they should be saying to Neymar, "Give us your phone. Have you got Mourinho's number?" No, I haven't. Let me have a look. Probably got saved on a different name, like a deceitful husband.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, indeed. Right. Shall we, before we go to a little quick break, mention poor old Claudio Ranieri?
Yes.
Getting sacked, eh?
No, poor old us getting the news 5 minutes after we all got home on Thursday night.
Another stitch up. The football gods stitching up the ramble. Yeah.
And Ranieri.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Yeah, Claudio.
It's such a sad end.
It is, but what I would say is that there is a potential silver lining for me with Claudio Ranieri in this situation because, as a lot of people have said, they're pretty much sleepwalking to relegation.
Yeah.
If they'd have got relegated under Ranieri, that would have been... I know we've mentioned Jamie Carragher's Luke's interview with Jamie Carragher, but Carragher does mention that when talking about Istanbul Champions League final. He said if Leicester get relegated this season... Obviously it doesn't, but it almost, in a sense, invalidates the win of the Premier League last season.
When club legends take teams down, Shearer, like that's like it's
I
not
forgot
it's
about
not
that.
It's not it, you know it
I'm
does.
I'm bloody
take...
glad you're back now.
I thought you were going to say Brian Clough, Alan Shearer.
They have eight games.
Six.
Oh, six Three. Games.
Is it six?
All he needed. All he needed.
You got six games to save our season, Alan. Can you do it? Probably.
Maybe.
It's like one of those options on Football Manager when you've run out of playing the normal game.
But you're right, Peter. And I think with Ranieri, had he stayed, it would have been...
Still in the Champions League?
Well, they are still in the Champions League for another week or two. But it would have been... They might well have got relegated, and that would have been such a shame. If they'd have survived, I think they would have moved him on anyway. This way, he gets sacked in February, so there is a little bit of time for a manager to come in. But he gets sacked, and everyone goes, "Oh, this is a disgrace, poor old Ranieri," and sympathise.
But what you're saying is, if they are indeed able to stay up, everyone would have just forget about Ranieri's difficult time this season. They would just remember him still for the Premier League title.
Yeah, I think the owners might have moved him on. They might have thought, actually, you know,
know what.
The thing I found fascinating about it was that if you take as read now that football clubs hold Premier League status is above everything else. Mm-hmm. Right, that's essentially the game we're in. Mm-hmm. It's probably a bit conceited, and it's probably a bit of a shame, and it's a bit all too very very serious and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And for people like us, we like to enjoy the entertainment of the game, so maybe it's not to our taste. But that's the case. Football clubs, pride, Premier League status over everything else. Now, the Leicester owners could have come out and said, whatever happens now after he's done this, we'll give him a job for life, Claudio Ranieri, because he's earned it, and we don't care about anything else. If we go down, we'll stick with him, and we'll get back up again. They chose not to do that. Mm-hmm. They chose to say that Premier League football was the most important. Now,
kick on and build.
Claudio Ranieri hasn't guided Leicester to say eighth this season. Mm. Right? There's no doubt in my... You can't predict the future, of course, but there's no doubt in my mind that if he had stayed at that club, they'd have been relegated. I'll put my house on it. Right. They would be relegated. Okay. So it's very sad that a man's lost his job. But that aside, we can't just pretend the last 9 months haven't happened.
Yeah, but you're right. And they've given him time.
And I'll finish by saying, a lot of the media reaction to this has been way, way over the top, mm-hmm. and to the point where it's actually been quite distasteful. Mm-hmm. So some of the media reporting I've seen from football journalists and others who should know better said, in all my years, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in football. Well, there was a child abuse scandal 3 months ago.
Yeah, right.
Get a bit of perspective here, if you can, because a man's lost a job, it's very sad, but that's the game we're in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the game we're all in.
It's like I said before, I went away, he's getting paid for the results that he's performing this season. It was clear that, like you said, they were going to go down. Yeah. What do you want to be?
Well, exactly.
Do you want to kick on and sort of build something here, or do you want to build a Premier League club, or do you just want to be the yo-yo club that you've been for the last 10 years?
The way you said it then, Pete, so it's like when I went away, it's like almost like you were linking yourself to it. Well, I said when I was going to go away, Pete's out of town, fire him.
We can't do it while he's
here. Used to go to Leicester Uni, you can't do it while he's in the country.
Pete and Paul Stratford are away.
It was De Montfort.
The Polytechnic, whatever.
But Nigel Pearson is being seemingly genuinely linked.
That's
job,
the annoying thing about it, though, that colour of a manager has been now been linked. This is the ex-champions who are still in the Champions League. They should be getting a fairly decent manager. Yeah.
When I was doing the radio last week, a guy came on the phone, a Midlands correspondent for a newspaper or something, and he said, I've been told by the club to not rule out Nigel Pearson. He said those
amazing
words. Wow. Why would the club be saying that to a journalist, though?
Because you're about to put in Nigel Pearson, that's out.
If you are going to give him the job, that's dreadful. If you're not, don't pretend you are.
Well, like I say, I think it's...
The silver lining
for Ranieri is he leaves with them still in the Champions League, which he got them through the group stages. They're still champions of England, and technically they weren't in the relegation zone when he left.
No.
But we're going to talk about why they are now in the relegation zone after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we talk about Crystal Palace, let's have some emails with Pete Donaldson.
Yes, it's time for emails, guys.
Straight back into the email hot seat.
There are some beauts. Yeah. Who read them in my absence?
You, and it was excellent.
But he did a great job.
I really enjoyed it, actually. Mm.
Jim can actually talk, that's why.
It's a step up.
This is from Craig Nixon from Ashore Moor.
Oh, Nixie.
Nixo. Hi, guys. On the subject of embarrassing dads at football, I want to share my story. My dad and brother are Sunderland supporters, but I rebelled and supported Newcastle, making me the black and white sheep of the family.
This is how this one got in.
Jim actually chose these, so there you go. I was around 16 years old, and it was Derby Day. We decorated the house with Newcastle flags covering the back and Sunderland flags on the front. I invited all of my Newcastle supporters. Party time! And no man's land in the toilet, sorry. I invited all of my Newcastle supporting mates around to watch the match, which we won 2-1. After the game, I was recreating the winning goal in the living room using a pair of rolled up socks when I heard the patio door slide open abruptly. I was confronted by my dad, who had been drinking whiskey for most of the day, holding the hose pipe from the garden. He chased me and my mates around the house, spraying water everywhere until we escaped out of the front door. He soaked the house and knocked all the ornaments off the mantelpiece.
Can I just say?
Needless to say, my mother was not happy, and he spent the rest of the day in the doghouse.
Is his dad Kevin Keegan?
Can I just say that's a lot more cheerful outcome than I hear usually when a dad drinks a lot of whiskey and grabs a hose pipe.
Quite.
Craig Nixon from Ushuaïa Mill. That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm loving it.
That's very good.
Absolutely lovely, lovely stuff. Evening, lads. This is from Patrick Benson. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Patrick.
He wants to put highlight the weekend. Is that all right?
Yeah. We do have a system in place here, Pete. But you come back and it's all run rough.
We'll check the emails then.
No, carry on. Cannot be bothered.
Jim's head of my Ministry of Propaganda here. Blame him.
You dragged him in.
My highlight of the week came in the 15th minute of the East Anglian derby, where a minute's applause was held by us Norwich fans to commemorate Ipswich's 15 straight years in the Championship. It is arguable whether or not it was actually funny, however. What definitely was funny was the many Ipswich fans who joined in the applause before they realised the reason behind it and changed to booze.
Did that actually happen?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
To top that off, some of the Ipswich staff spent the entire minute clapping their own decade and a half of disappointment. Patrick, you got to be careful. Yeah. You can't have too many of these applausy things.
If you have too many of them, they get undermined and people jump on board.
I have strong feelings about these, but I won't air them here.
Let's cut down on the applausy things.
Yeah. Applausy things. This is from Amy Petzolt. Hello, Amy. Dear Ramble Boys, keeping with the parental stories, I thought I'd offer a mum story.
The first one.
Is this the first mum story?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Mum's the word. My dad is an American and has less than no interest in our football. Luckily for me, as I played at primary school, my godfather got me a junior Gunners membership. One game, Arsenal versus Bradford, my godfather couldn't go, and so my godmother took us and invited my mum along. Now, I will admit that although I was young, I did notice the linesman had a rather sprightly spring in his step as he ran the line, and it turned out that my mum became quite taken with him. You know how annoying it is when you get caught next to someone who commentates on the game for the whole 90 minutes? Well, I promise you, it's much more annoying when that person isn't describing the name, but indeed the linesman's bum. Especially when that person,
90 minutes.
Especially when that person birthed you. Just to make sure this doesn't turn into all that, that's why we don't want women watching the game rubbish, I will also leave you with a couple of things my dad has said when I've watched the games with him around. Handball, it was a throw-in. Why do they all keep hugging each other? And why wasn't the goalie just running down the other end and throwing the ball in the net?
I've heard Pete ask two of those.
And admire a linesman's arse.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy. That was excellent.
Thanks, Amy.
Finally, for now, we've got something from Ben Jones from Macclesfield. Hello, Ben Jones. An early highlight of the week for you. PSV's keeper, Zoet, made a slightly fumbled but decent save from a header in the 82nd minute against Feyenoord. However, he then proceeds to scoop the ball into his chest while sat behind the goal line, thus giving the goal to Feyenoord.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate. And it was only just in.
It was really weird, wasn't it?
It's very strange. It's one of those ones that without that goal decision technology, you would never better give it because it was very, very close.
So the final players were sitting, fans went, Borstal, and PSV chased the ref around as the ref just points at his big watch.
Yeah, that's a great thing about it. It gives the ref an out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they chase him and he holds his arm right up in the air and just starts pointing
big
at his watch.
Big watch! Look at my big watch, yeah. Everyone!
Like he's in a bar, really drunk, going, there's 5 more minutes till last order! Come on!
As well, Sir Alex Ferguson wasn't managing.
No, exactly. Well, he'd do it anyway.
Because he'd be like tapping at the watch. I want another goal!
I'd love it.
Is this a real Rolex?
There does seem to be some suggestion from some of the fallout from this that the goal line technology is the thing that's at fault there. It's like,
it literally can't be.
Yeah.
It's literally giving you a binary decision.
A little man inside.
Certainly
I think
not.
It's this. Finally, for now, it's King Kazoo's 50th birthday.
No way.
It was the start of J2. League season.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's his birthday. 50.
50.
Yeah. Still playing.
Still playing. He played the first 65 minutes as Yokohama FC beat Matsumoto Yamaga.
Ridiculous.
He started games.
His best work was defensively, apparently.
Okay.
He did a lap of honour and we all sang happy birthday a lot. Fun times. Legend. Thank you, Rupert. And that's it. Tanjubi Omadetu to King Gazoo.
We're going back to the Premier League now.
Yeah.
To celebrate Crystal Palace's win. Yeah.
The glamour never ends.
So great win. Allardyce is planning to take them away for a week in the sun.
Unquestionable highlight of this game for me was Patrick van Aanholt's post-match interview. It was full of the trademark Dutch confidence that you'd come to associate with it with Dutch football. He said, this is a direct quote, I've shown I can score goals. I showed it last season. I'm showing it this season. And I showed it again today. Now, I've crunched a few numbers, Patrick. Okay. You've scored on average fewer than 2 league goals a season across your entire career.
But you can still hit them.
Yeah, he's got an
S at the end of that goal, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Goals.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it was a nice goal. It was a precious one.
It was.
For old Palace.
Much nearer. Well, once you, well, I mean, essentially in the league, once you get one goal, that's it. You've won against Middlesbrough. I'm surprised they even bothered finishing the fixture.
Yeah, it's effectively always next goal wins.
Yeah,
isn't it?
For them. Yeah,
referee
yeah.
just blows up,
and it's never Middlesbrough because they never score.
Well, I've nearly said Pardew there.
Party.
And, Allardyce, as I say, he's planning to take the team away for a week in the sun, and I love this. You know what Allardyce is like?
Yeah.
He said he's always done this due to the... He went, oh, the weather's here so poor at this time of the year. Like, yeah, right. We know. And then he said, I always take teams away, apart from when I was at Newcastle, when they sacked me before I could take them away. Just no need
How
for
are
it.
You doing now, Newcastle?
Yeah. The way he says
it, thinking,
the way he says it is like he's on the way to the airport. Yeah. Like, okay, look, the bad news is I can't come. But you guys might as well still go. You got the tickets.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Big fat party animal Hawaiian shirt.
If
on.
They'd have let me do that trip, my goodness, it would have been fine.
John Carver will look after you. Is John Carver then MP?
He's been there forever.
Okay, right.
He was with now. Robson for crying out loud.
He's in the sun now in Cyprus, isn't he?
No, he's just been fired. Nikos Davizas is, I think, upstairs somewhere.
Is that happy while we're on there as well?
What?
Yeah,
he's gone. He's out of there.
Is Carver gone?
Yeah, apparently there was a bit of a riot. The match had to be abandoned. The fans were so upset with the performance of the team, they threw flares on and it got abandoned.
I thought for probably about a tenth of a second there was a riot about him being fired. Then I realised that would be ridiculous.
Well, we said like only the last week or 2 weeks ago, it's nice to hear that Carver was having a good time in the league and all this. But now,
was Carver at the club when Keegan had his second spell?
Has
it robbed off? I'm saying
it's always McDermott, isn't it? Under Keegan.
Yeah, he went everywhere with
him. Yeah. Let's move on to Sunderland, Peter.
Yes,
because they were beaten. It's looking bad for them because Palace have obviously just won and a win down there.
They'll be fine. They won't go down.
They're bottom.
They'll be fine.
Oh, they won't,
yeah, they're going to be fine.
They're screwed.
It's Jordan Pickford I feel sorry for.
Yeah, I do. He is so busy.
The man makes a billion saves a game.
Yeah. He's probably run more than the rest of the team.
He'll get a move. He's grown muscles where muscles didn't exist before.
He's working every muscle group in his body. every minute of every game.
He's grown an inch every match because he's having to stretch for everything.
He's going to be the first goalkeeper in history to run out of saves.
different limbs have got unions.
The Pickford saves vending machine is empty.
He's going to have to pull out like a power socket from like the behind the goal and plug himself in.
Pete, what would be the ideal scenario for you? Sunderland stay up, or obviously Newcastle to go up, so you can still play them in the league, or Newcastle to go up and Sunderland go down?
I don't like the derby matches anyway. They always and Newcastle always lose them, so
it's ridiculous.
Definitely,
fact, no, let me answer this for Pete. He'd probably prefer it to just stay as it is.
Yeah.
To be honest, I like Sunderland. Will probably start, so I'm just quite happy for Newcastle.
Yeah. Pardew in for Moyes. Newcastle versus Sunderland next season.
Pardew's getting a mention in a bit. Lukaku with his 60th goal.
Yeah,
was it actually his goal? I was a bit.
I think it was given to him in the end.
Oh, I'd massively wanted the fantasy points, but I thought it was it didn't really. It was very difficult to see whether that was on target or not.
Yeah, but everyone was saying, and when I say everyone, I mean the media, they were saying that he's equaled Duncan Ferguson's record tally for Everton with 60 goals.
60 goals. Dixie Dean got 67 goals in a season for him once.
Yeah.
So,
that's a bit of perspective.
But that was way before the Premier League,
doesn't
mate.
Count.
Way before
the
Premier
League. Yeah, it's about 89, 90. Like
that. Could he murder a burglar? No.
There is nothing to suggest that Duncan Ferguson has ever murdered a man.
If the police hadn't arrived.
There's nothing to suggest it.
Should we check that with legal?
Oh, dearie me.
Oh, hello. Is that Smith and Smith and Smith? Has Duncan Ferguson ever murdered a man? Okay, that can't go in. one of my highlights from this game was something really, really cute that Kevin Morales tweeted. Did you see this?
No.
He tweeted saying that Idrissa Gana Gueye is his best friend.
Oh.
I'm very pleased to see my best friend score a goal.
That's lovely. That's the kind of
more adorable footballers.
Kind of atmosphere that Koeman
it's a lovely
creates.
Finish as well.
It was a lovely finish.
Maybe he'd lent him some boots.
And I agree with
talking about the boots.
Yeah, maybe. I agree with Jermaine Genius, by the way, in saying that Sunderland just have got absolutely no plan at all.
We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, weren't we? What is their style?
It's very difficult to know exactly what they say. So if you think of the other teams down there, sort of like Burnley, for example, at home, you know the type they're going to play, the style they're going to play. You know, other teams around there, Middlesbrough, they set up to frustrate and not concede many, and it largely works.
Palace try to do that.
Yeah, but Sunderland don't do anything.
No, did you see that ridiculous situation? I forget who it was. It might have been Kone, where he conceded a corner from the halfway line.
What are they doing?
How did that happen?
What are they playing?
That's so good, isn't it?
Absolutely ridiculous.
Did the American dad do that one?
Kone, yeah, he's actually probably the right player usually. Yeah. I know you're not in great form, Kone, but do not tell me you've forgotten the rules of this game.
He was a great signing. It was a useful signing.
You know, when a defender makes a last ditch challenge to put it out for a corner, I got it when I said defend from the front.
I said corner, not corner.
Yeah, playing at the Kone's.
Corner.
Moyes said, he sounds so downbeat, David Moyes. He said that they need to win at least five of the last 12 matches, which is, that's a tall order. And then he said, our next game is against Manchester City, so I'm not kidding myself.
I find this absolutely fascinating. Remarkably disgraceful. He's saying we've got to win 5 of 12, but you can basically lose the next one.
Yeah.
You don't even have that one off.
Yeah, we're Man City, 5 of 11. 5
you
of 11,
last
terrified.
From January, where he said, none of my players are good enough, and none of the signs we make, if we're realistic, are going to be any better than that.
Yeah. You look at him on the touchline. He's not got noughts in his hand. He's not got, like, plans or anything. They're just brochures for fucking caskets. We're all going to die one day. I might go for Birchwood.
How is that going for you, David? One day closer to the grave.
Yeah. Another one out of the way.
Yeah. What's happened to him?
He needs to get back.
More cell decay. He needs to get back out of Spain on the veranda.
You know what? That defeatist attitude is kind of frustrating to hear, even as a neutral. So, being a Sunderland fan, you must like look at Moyes and think we're at a point now where you are clearly doing a bad job. You know,
that's been happening for some time.
Oh, it has, yeah. But I don't know. Is Moyes, you know, maybe getting a little bit of a pass because people feel sorry for him for all the stuff that's happened to him over the past few years. But again, what is his style? Like they're playing so badly, and that defeatist attitude is going to contribute to them going down. If he's saying ahead of the City game like that they haven't got a chance,
you're genuine.
What on earth?
You actually sound quite concerned.
I do.
You're taking this quite badly.
Have you only just to what's going on at Sunderland?
My own problems.
I'm hearing the word defeatist a lot. Defeated a problem.
Penny's dropped.
Oh dear. Let's move on to Spurs, though. Little mention for Spurs before we go to a quick ad break. But Harry Kane with his third hat trick in 9 games.
They're absolutely imperious. I was chatting.
Let's cheer ourselves up with a bit of Spurs chat.
I was chatting to a Spurs fan pal earlier and was saying that, you know, it was almost like the second half and no one really bothered.
No.
Stoke, like, well, that's gone now. Yeah. Write that off. No point in getting injured. Spurs obviously didn't want to cause any particular trouble to their own players.
Were they aware that Charlie Adam was still on the pitch, so they thought, let's just...
Well, Adam's got a real vendetta, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Against the rest of the human race.
Yeah, but particularly Spurs.
Yeah, he
absolutely destroyed Paulinho's career. He had two pops, I think, separately at Gareth Bale. I'm fairly sure, I mean, although the record may disagree with this, but I'm fairly sure that he had a good old-fashioned pop at Luka Modric at one point as well.
He's a nominee for my award.
Yeah.
Maybe he had Dele Alli lined up and he saw what he did in the Europa League and he went, I'll just leave him for now.
Yeah, people would be giving him an award if he carried on like that.
He's always been a tough tackling player, but he was... You know, he had a bit more guile about him in the past. He's a bit cute, like a hatchet man now. Reckless.
I mean, Spurs, obviously, Kane's joint top scorer in the Premier League now, 17 goals. And this is an interesting fact. Christian Eriksen now has the most assists in the Premier League this season with 10. He also has created the joint top most chances along with, can you guess who?
Nathan Redmond.
Nope.
Is it something stupid?
It's Dimitri Payet.
Oh, that is interesting.
A little bit of triv, wasn't it? But I agree with Andy Brassu. I read a piece earlier, the excellent Andy Brassu, who said that Kane simply has to now be considered among the best strikers in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's 23 and he scored 81 goals in the last two in a half season.
I don't think he'd travel well. he's not getting his move to Barca.
Now, Britain is still in Europe.
It's such good technique from him again on the second goal in particular, which is fantastic. He does make these finishes look easy, but Spurs control games really well at the moment. That's how they're sort of doing so well, isn't it? They're just dominating the teams around them. Like Stoke just didn't really have a hand in that game, but I think like Kane scoring a hat trick by deflecting a shot off Peter Crouch just sums up how far they've come so well.
He is very Poste-esque.
What do you guys think? I thought Mauricio Pochettino handled the handshake situation particularly well.
Oh yeah,
no messing around,
didn't it? They've fallen in love at half time.
Yeah,
give him his handshake.
Is it right that Stoke have lost at those two last fixtures 4-0 as well? And Mark Hughes said before the game, I'm fairly confident it's going to be a bit different this time around.
Is that right?
It wasn't new. It was exactly the same.
No different.
We'll be playing at a different stadium.
Yeah.
It was exactly the same. We're going to go down to the Championship after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Marcus, I think it was a nothing-nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out this Friday. How did our bet of the week get on last?
It went bloody well.
Yay! Hey, money for charity.
Ed Gibson, who I worryingly can't get hold of.
So
if you are listening, Ed, get in touch. You've won the bet. You're still in the hot seat for this week. So it was Spurs to win, of course, and over 2.5 goals in the game, which came off. And I think, off the top of my head, Ed managed to secure £95 and about 40-odd p for Prostate Cancer UK. So well done to him. And well done for us for allowing him the opportunity.
Facilitating it.
We'll look forward to hearing from Ed for Friday's show.
Indeed we will. Let's go to the Championship. There were derbies galore in the Championship. There's a huge win for Leeds against Sheffield Wednesday in a Yorkshire derby.
A missed penalty, no less, as well.
Yeah, Rob Jordan Rhodes.
But did Rob Green get a hand to
it? He did. He tipped onto the post. It's
he's
fantastic
a good save. Yeah. He's having a good season. The Kiwi superstar, Chris Wood. With a lovely composure. Yeah. Lovely composure. There was another Yorkshire derby, if you will. Barnsley drew with Huddersfield, sort of south and west Yorkshire. Always assume there's a Yorkshire derby going on somewhere.
Yorkshire, presumably.
Yorkshire Humberside. It's a big old place.
I'd hope it'd be in Yorkshire.
Yeah. That match contained one of the best goal line clearances you'll see all season, so do get involved there. Midlands derby. Birmingham beat Wolves 2-1 away from home. Davis scored the winner. Is it fair to say he wasn't conflicted when scoring against his old team?
It's rare that you see someone revel in it so much.
Wolves losing to a Zola side is particularly poor.
I mean,
you don't want to be doing that.
Well, but they've needed a win, Birmingham.
You were touting to me that maybe they're missing a bit of Walter Zenger, but Paul Lambert did beat Liverpool Anfield in the Cup, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't have a go at him too much.
But the league is their priority, and they are only 4 points above the relegation zone, the rally zone. Mm. Yeah, you should have stuck with Zenger.
Should have done. If not, just for our show.
Yeah, exactly.
For our material.
Right, exactly. Norwich drew with Ipswich in... some people call it the Tractor Derby, some people call it the Old Farm Derby.
I prefer the Old Farm Derby.
Old Farm Derby's a lovely one, isn't it?
I was expecting this to be a great game. I'll be honest, I turned it off.
Mm.
It wasn't great. There was a couple of goals in the middle of the second half, apparently.
Ipswich haven't beaten Norwich since 2009.
You know, sometimes when you think, life is happening all around me.
I'll just go have a lay down.
Yeah, I'll do anything else. But particularly good quotes from Mick McCarthy. Well, the thing is, Mick McCarthy, I know everyone knows he's good for a quote and stuff, but I think he's a bit of an underrated sort of oddball.
Oh, yeah. He's not underrated. He's very rated on this show for that. And also, he's a bit of a misery.
After the game, he said, "I would hope that performance and result goes a long way to repairing my relationship with the fans. It's been broken at times. They've not enjoyed it. They've not been watching good football. I get that. I've not been enjoying it myself, particularly."
If only he had some kind of influence.
It gets better than this. So over the last 5 games, I think they've seen us play really well, and I would think that helping stop Norwich in their tracks during a promotion
in
push would endear us to our fans a bit more. Right. In those 5 games he talks about, they've won one.
Yeah.
It's not like they've won every game through, but they've won one against Aston Villa, who are also terrible. And the game, I mean, from what I saw, Norwich... battered Ipswich.
Yeah.
Because Mick McCarthy also said in the post-match interview that the goalkeeper like kept him in the game and he's the best goalkeeper in the division. He didn't know what he's talking about.
You didn't rate him as a manager.
I've not been enjoying it particularly myself. You're in charge.
Yeah. Should he stick it up his bollocks?
Yeah, he should.
Right.
I think he should. I think Echoes of Saipan.
Yes, indeed.
Will be his autobiography. Yeah.
That's an 80s new romantic band,
yeah,
right there.
Echoes of Saipan. Right.
Aston Villa, they were they beat Steve McLaren's men. There was a derby involved there, if you will.
A derby of fallen off big time.
They have.
Did you
yeah.
see? Did you see Leandro Bacuna's behaviour in that
what
game?
What was that? He had a coming together with the referee's assistant.
I wouldn't call it that. I think that's unfair on the assistant.
Yeah,
just doing his job. Flag for a throw-in of
it's
all
mental,
things.
It's mental, isn't it?
In the last minute. And
sort of, it wasn't a big decision.
No.
Just a throw-in. And then he sort of barged him slightly, didn't he?
He screamed in his face. Mm. All sorts. Very, very, very unbecoming.
Yeah, it was unbecoming. Twatter.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. by the way, good on the more positive side, sorry, Jim, just good news for Aston Villa, they've just posted an £81 million loss. So, for the financial year.
Is that what you're going to say, Jim?
Every club. Was it? Yeah. Sorry, Jim. I have no way of knowing that. I apologise.
No. Don't worry. I'm just happy it's out there.
Yeah, yeah. I think
exactly.
We all are, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Can we go to League Two quickly? Slightly more positive news for somebody in this studio.
You want to skip out Tim Sherwood, do you?
Do you want
in League One?
All right, League One, League
One. He's found a way to contribute to Swindon season by getting a ban. and then they won the game.
How did he get banned?
What's he been banned for? I missed this.
Two games for abusing an official. I talked about it last week. Abusing an official, he ended up getting a 2-game ban.
Get up.
And they won. So
there we are.
There's the formula.
Timmy. No Tim Sherwood. Yeah. Turns out to be a good thing. Are we ready for League Two? All the teams in the top five drop points, apart from those Pompey people.
Exactly. It was a big game.
They're 3 points off Carlisle in third with the game in hand. Could this be the season that Pompey start to reverse up the Pompey Highway?
Well, there's nothing. Nothing, as far as I'm concerned, has changed. I mean, it's the sort of game Pompey would win away from home against the team just above them. Batter them 3-0. I think they're at home to Morecambe tomorrow night. They'll probably get beat there. So
probably.
Yeah, they'll probably
can
lose.
Can we go to Wembley for the playoff?
If they go to Wembley, we're absolutely going. We are going. We're getting on the pitch.
absolutely
uniform side pitch.
The Arsenal guy doesn't do all the pitches.
I wasn't. By the way, when I went to go and see the groundsman at Arsenal, I wasn't out on the pitch.
No?
No chance.
No, I played on the pitch, so...
Not just in his office, which, that's fair to say, Arsenal have got a lot of money at that club. His office was like something at the Wolf of Wall Street. He's the head groundsman. Really nice man.
That's lovely. Yeah.
A lady in a bikini.
No, not that bit.
Right, moving on to...
What's that shirt done to you?
In the Conference Premier, this is a nice one. Sutton United, they beat Torquay 3-2 away from home. Now, due to big Wayne Shaw leaving the club, all that business, Sutton, they didn't have time to get a proper replacement lined up, so they had to play an outfield player in goal when their keeper came off injured in the 15th minute.
And they still won.
They won, yeah. Simon Downer went in goal.
Where's the shoot on site policy when you need it? Yeah.
It's so good, isn't it? Like, of all the media business that has surrounded Wayne Shaw, then that happened.
I know.
It's so good. Shame,
what I would say is that somebody went into the adjoining studio about 5 minutes ago and offered us donuts, and I was going, I could just get a donut and eat a donut now. And I was thinking, that'd be naughty.
Did they leave them in there for us?
They're still in there.
Yes. Wow, that's good.
So wrap it up quickly. Yeah,
Well, we were going to mention the Scottish Premiership, but I think...
That should have been skipped anyway.
Is there disrespect in a whole nation? We do it every week and still you're surprised.
On the Sutton United thing, is it worthy of merit to suggest that possibly given the shape that Wayne Shaw's in, that Simon Downer, who I believe went in goal, might have done a better job anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
well,
come
well
on.
Yeah. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not in the best shape myself. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
I'm very much the Wayne Shaw of this podcast.
To be fair, Simon Downer, he's not a proper goalkeeper. He's been more of a tribute to a goalkeeper. He's like a pastiche of a goalkeeper. Let's move on to the Scottish Premiership.
I mean, it was crafty, but crap at the same
Marcus,
time, wasn't it?
Marcus is the only one who can get away with those labour. Yeah. People just think, it's Marcus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you don't expect quality from Marcus, no. So it's fine.
Pete, look, I say that. You get away with fashion things that I wouldn't get away with.
He doesn't get away with them.
You're a hairy man, Marcus. You're limited, mate.
Very hairy. Limited. Unbelievable.
I agree with both of those things.
Celtic beat Hamilton Accies 2-0.
Business as usual. Why is that being mentioned?
They're 24 points. They're only 4 points clear at the top.
They were 27 a few weeks ago. They've lost their lead.
Were they?
Yeah, I think they might have been, yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. Maybe
let's get to the real stuff.
All right. It was, the reason why I say that is because we're going to now talk about Rangers, and you have to see that that is the disparity. That is the thing that Brendan Rodgers was
talking
about.
I thought we were going to talk about Motherwell.
We'll get there in a minute.
All right. All right. Oh, by the way, I heard tonight another bit of inside information, which will undoubtedly prove to be false.
God, Luke, you're becoming a real IT care.
I'm just saying that
Luke's
Rangers...
wicked whispers.
I know, usually just a big C.
Rangers have had another poor result against Inverness Cali. A bad result for the Teddy Bears. They're third, still way off Celtic in terms of quality. They need a new manager, of course. And I was just going to say, where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds?
Oh, sorry, yeah. Alan Pardew's been linked, hasn't he?
Fantastic.
He has, he's been linked.
Pardew, speaking of tropes.
The way this show's going, he'll probably be hired, win about five games, get fired before this comes out. So.
Big palms.
Yeah, he'd love a bit of that, wouldn't he? It's one of those ones that makes sense.
It makes sense.
He'd love that, wouldn't he? Cock of the walk, knocking about Glasgow. He's popped up everywhere. He popped up in the background of rugby pundit Will Greenwood on Sky Sports News today. He's in the background with glasses and a big smile.
Well, obviously big smile and glasses.
Yeah, I suppose that comes along with it, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you saw Pars, we'll just assume the rest is true.
Yeah, well, quite.
My goodness.
Pars slide.
Him. You can imagine him walking up at Ibrox and going, yeah, well, you know, I belong at a place... playing football in front of 50,000 people, you know, kind of managing.
And you know he thinks that.
Yeah. Rodgers might, you know, there might be a new man.
What a meeting of minds that is, Rodgers v Pardew. North of the border.
Right. Motherwell.
Yeah.
They lost 5-1 at home to Dundee.
You will remember last week they got beat 7-2 by Aberdeen. Not Michael McGee's final.
Well, they only got beat 2-0 off Celtic, I think, last weekend.
He did. Yeah, you know, he did. Yeah,
which,
true.
Which
yeah.
was a bloody good result.
Mark McGee did a lovely one in the post-match press conference. I mean, he's obviously been told to tone it down a little bit, so he can't be raging again. By the way, they were 5-1 down at half-time.
Good result, then.
Got a draw in the second half.
Yeah. He said, no, lads.
Listen to this for a confidence boost for his players, right? This is a direct quote. Next week, a couple of the players have to play because they're the only players in those positions. it's like Churchill in his pomp, isn't it?
I have in my hand.
When I saw that 5-1, I just thought to myself, I wonder if the referee's assistant has had another shock in there.
Getting an earful. He's getting
Apparently, there were 100. I love the fact that it was just 100. A very... precise number. 100 Motherwell fans chanted against McGee and unfurled a banner that read, and I love this. This is proper Scottish directness. Get McGee out now. Not McGee out. Now.
Now.
If you're reading this, right, by the end of this sentence, he should be gone. You're in the game. We want to see him removed from his place.
We know there's only 15 minutes gone. Get him out.
Yeah. We're 3-0 down, so I know there's as good a time as any.
I think they were.
Yeah.
Love that so much.
Yeah, they were 4-1 down with 1 minute to go in the first half.
Yeah, you think it wouldn't get worse?
Seen another.
Not 4-1, you've always got a chance. No, not anymore. Mm. Not anymore. Right, let's get the highlights of the week.
Highlights of the week, yeah. What have we got
here?
The
weekend, should I say.
One of the things of note is that Teddy Sheringham
Teddy Sheringham's scum.
I've never met the guy. Teddy Sheringham's son.
Yeah, who he uses as a gun.
Yeah, scored a hat-trick against Gosport Borough at the weekend.
Oh, wow.
He's 28 and he plays for Ebbsfleet. So he's got a hat-trick. That was nice. Worthy of note. What have we got here? Louis T. Moorhead. The seething rage of Matt Letizia at the half-time in the EFL Cup final. Mm-hmm. Like a substitute teacher finally pushed over the edge, he was about 2 seconds away from dropping the F-bomb on live TV. Couldn't agree more.
Yep.
That's definitely got to go in there. What have we got here? Gary Ricks. Not really a highlight seeing Claudio get the boot, but I can't wait to see Pete's face when Pardew manages the current Premier League champions and the Champions League against Sevilla.
We're thinking Rangers.
Could happen.
Mm. Either way, great choices.
Yeah.
Here's one for you, Pete, from Ben Bennett.
That's not his name.
Apparently it is. Mm-hmm. Trying to persuade Pete Donaldson to play for my team, I'm the player manager, kit man, secretary and chief financial backer in Hong Kong with the promise of as much Tsing Tao and bubble tea as he can drink, only to be pied off by him as he was already in mainland China by then.
I was out of there. I was a ghost.
Hashtag explain yourself.
I had trainers and shorts. I would have played.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
But you didn't.
I wanted to go for a run.
Did that happen?
No. I had too many Tsing Taos.
Valuable luggage space. Sorry about that,
I
Ben.
Bought a massive plate with the Prime Minister of China on it. It's massive.
What, he actually came with the plate.
He finally got himself a big plate.
Yeah, I've got my big plate, Alan.
Is beginning.
Continues apace. Wouldn't you bring it in?
Yeah. Because
he's already smashed it.
He used it for the video afterwards. Yeah. Anyway, we'll finish off by this. Leo Bryan, I like this one. He says, Mark Hughes spent so much time pre-week worrying about the handshake. He forgot to discuss tactics. Probably, that's probably scarily accurate.
Yeah, it is. We've got to mention Carlo Ancelotti's 1,000th game in charge as a manager. What was the score at Wenger's 1,000th game in charge?
Oh, I don't know. Like,
battered,
didn't
wasn't
they? It 6-0 to Chelsea or something like that?
I thought it was the 8-2 game.
No, that wasn't it. Am I right in saying that?
I think they got heavily beaten, yeah. It was remarkable at the time, yeah.
Well, Ancelotti's a 1,000th game in charge as manager. Bayern 8, Hamburg 0.
That's the one.
Ruthless.
Cliché.
How many did Lewandowski get?
He got three.
Helped himself. Business as usual.
Yeah. Another highlight I've got to mention is Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Carnival's coming up.
Okay. It always seems to be coming up. It's like London Fashion Week. It's always on. Yeah.
That's because we're with Peter.
Not a month goes past without you mentioning Carnival.
Well, he's bringing out a range of tickets. You remember, you know, the song...
I'm full of money, let's drink. Yeah,
exactly,
of course.
Yeah.
How can I forget that?
Well, he's bringing out a range of T-shirts ahead of Carnival with the slogan, "Let's drink, I'm single."
You've got to be kidding me.
Let's drink now that I'm single again. Something like that.
That's my slogan. See you in court, Ronaldinho.
And you know when you're in trouble and it just sort of morphs itself into, "Let's drink."
I thought, just drink quietly into a glass.
I thought you hadn't finished the slogan. I thought it was, "Let's drink, I'm single, see you in court." There we are. Any more for any more?
No, I'm spent.
I enjoy the fact that Tony Pulis has got 7 goals out of 36-year-old Gareth McCauley this season.
That's
worth highlighting.
Is he not their top scorer in the league?
I don't know.
Rondon's got around the same amount, I think. But yeah, he's an amazing return.
It's great.
Pulis. And Gareth McCauley's very humble as well. In an interview I saw of him the other day, he said, I'll just keep playing as long as someone gives me a job. Yeah. That's what he said. Great.
Absolutely.
Good to see.
Much like the rest of us.
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, and we should say, Yakubu, he had an hamstring injury.
Oh, yeah. The 150 emails we got about that video, the man was injured. Have a bit of respect.
As soon as I saw it, I thought, he's a goal hanger. If he was being lazy,
I don't know why. Yeah, why he was in the right wing.
Have a bit of respect for an elderly gentleman.
I appreciate how one could have thought that was his actual performance.
But he's got a 39-year-old hamstring.
But positionally, he's still got it.
I can appreciate as well how you might see that video and go, something looks a bit wrong about that. No, I'm not going to research it. I'll assume this is actually happening.
There we are. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. We'll be back on Friday, of course, for the preview show. Peter.
Can I give a quick mention to a charity football match that I've been meaning to mention for a few weeks now?
When I said any more for any more...
Well, it's not highlight of the week, is it? It's something that might be happening. Is it happening?
Is it a charity to get you a new shirt? Because I'll just give you 50 quid if you want.
Right. There's nothing wrong with my shirt. It's a floral number.
And you seem
to think that I've gone a bit James May.
It's a floral number.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a floral number.
Yeah.
This is football.
You look like you're about to see Mamba number five.
I'll take it. I'll take Ricky Martin.
Lou Bega. Ricky Martin quality.
No, Ricky Martin quality.
He looks like he's about to sing it in Marbella.
Yeah.
Dulwich Hamlet versus Centrepoint. It's a homelessness awareness game. It's a great charity. We've done little bits and bobs with them before. It's a football match that's taking place at Champion Hill Stadium, which is obviously Dulwich Hamlet's ground.
It's down the road from me, in South London.
7:45 PM, and it's going to be taking place on Wednesday, the 1st of March. I may be taking to the field with Jason Lee.
Ooh.
Oh, really? Okay.
Jason Lee.
I'll probably come down. It's just down the road from me.
Exactly.
Are you going to pull up in?
Yeah.
It's very affordable. Couple of quid.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
That was my best Clarkson impression.
What, the whole show?
They don't like to take the my shirt.
Yeah. It's probably putting him off.
Is there a meadow in the room? A dark meadow?
I'm getting hay fever.
Off that gothic feel.
Gothic hay fever.
Just licorice running out of your nose.
Black eyeliner running.
You're not ready, are you?
The thing is,
I've done this before.
The thing that makes me laugh is that he comes back for the first show wearing the most objectionable item of clothing I've ever seen. Yeah,
I've got a pair of boxer shorts with the word written on it.
Stop making it better. You're basically saying you can go worse if you want to. Even if you're wearing them, and presumably you'd have trousers on.
Scream if you want to go faster, Luke Miller.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh dear, right, here we go, I'm going to go for it.